نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue our discussion concerning the practical application of some of the matters related to classification of hadith under the topic of mustalah hadith. And actually, it is our hope during these next few weeks, during the month of Ramadan, to discuss particularly some hadith which are related to fasting in particular, or to the month of Ramadan. And there are some hadith which perhaps we will talk about in the coming weeks. From amongst them, those hadith which are very widely circulated. Often we will find them in the books written about fasting, and you will hear them in the speeches, in the masjids, and in the khutbah. They are usually being mentioned. Although these hadith which we want to talk about are hadith which are not authentic, they are not sahih. And the purpose of our discussion is, number one, to point out the fact that these are not authentic sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though many people are mentioning them in their lectures and speeches and books. And number two, the second objective of our discussion is to refresh our memories concerning the technical terminologies of mustalah hadith, and to clarify the definitions of those terminologies wherever it may not be clear. Perhaps there's no time tonight due to the lateness of beginning, but at least just quickly to mention some of the hadith which we would like to discuss in some detail in the future lectures. And amongst them is the hadith which is reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: من أفطر يوما من رمضان من غير عذر. That whoever breaks the fast of one day in the month of Ramadan without an excuse, without a legal excuse, يعني an excuse from the Sharia, that is, such as the person is traveling or sick or otherwise, whoever breaks the fast of one day in the month of Ramadan without an excuse, ولا مرض, and they are not sick, لم يقضيه صوم الدهر وإنصامه, then he wouldn't be able to make up for that day even if he fasted for the whole year. يعني whoever during this month of Ramadan breaks the fast, they began the fast and during the day they broke the fast without a legitimate reason, even if they fasted for a whole year, it wouldn't make up for that day which they missed. This hadith has been mentioned in many places, and it is often quoted in lectures and speeches and khutbah related to Ramadan, and it has even led many people to believe, many people have been led to believe that it is authentic, because one of the scholars who mentioned the hadith is Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. But Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, mentioned this hadith not as one of the hadith from his Sahih, from his book Al-Jami' al-Sahih, but he mentioned it as a hadith mu'allaq. And we discussed what is the meaning of mu'allaq, and a mu'allaq hadith is not an authentic hadith. And it is not part of the Sahih of Al-Bukhari, but many people quoted it and they said, Rawahu Al-Bukhari. It is narrated by Bukhari. But they didn't clarify that Bukhari mentioned this hadith not as one of the authentic hadith from his book, but he mentioned it as a hadith in a title, in a chapter heading, Mu'allaq, without a complete chain. And that hadith is not Sahih. This is one of the hadith, inshallah, that we would like to talk about. Another hadith which has been quoted often is Sumu, Tasahhu, fast and improve your health. It is also mentioned by many people as one of the reasons why we should fast, because fasting improves your health. And likewise, it is not an authentic hadith, it is a very, very weak hadith which shouldn't be attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And another of those hadith which we'd like to talk about in some detail is that which has been reported or attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لو يعلم العباد ما في رمضان لتمنت أمتي أن يكون رمضان السنة كلها. That if العباد, the slaves of Allah, the servants, the people, if they knew what is included in Ramadan, يعني of benefit, if they knew what were the good things of Ramadan, then they would have hoped, or my ummah, my nation or my community would have hoped that the Ramadan would last for the whole year. That Ramadan would be lasting for the whole year. And then he said, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ لَتُزَيِّنْ لِرَمَضَانْ مِنْ رَأْسِ الْحَوْلِ إِلَى الْحَوْلِ. And Ramadan is decorated or beautified from the beginning of the year until the next. And this hadith is also often quoted, and it is not an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another of those hadith, which is probably one of the most famous of hadith quoted or attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is reported through many different chains of narration, is that which has been attributed or narrated from Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu. And I should note here that whenever somebody says that a hadith is reported from a sahabi, any one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we say that hadith is da'if, it is weak, or it is fabricated, we shouldn't understand from this that the sahabi, he is being accused of reporting something falsely or incorrectly. No. But the people who fabricated it, or the people who made the error in reporting it, they attributed it to a sahabi, and they attributed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's no blame on the sahabi who is included in that chain of narrators, but it is the people who came after him who either made the error in that narration or the fabrication of it. So they have said that Salman radiallahu anhu reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya yuhannas, qad adhallakum shahru azim, that a great month has come upon you, shahrun fihi laylatun khayrun min alfi shahr. And that month, it includes a night which is better than 1,000 months. And here, also we should note that because a hadith has been judged by the scholars of hadith as being weak or fabricated, it doesn't necessarily mean that anything quoted in that hadith has to be incorrect. Some people may fabricate a hadith and they may say, they may make a statement that is true, but it's not really a statement from the Prophet ﷺ. And that's why we say it is weak. Yani, being attributed to the Prophet ﷺ is not confirmed as being a saying of his. Although it may contain something of truth, such as this statement, that this month is a month which contains a night which is better than 1,000 months. No doubt, it is a true statement, based on the Quran as well as Sunnah. But this particular report, as it has been transmitted to us, is not authentically attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, جعل الله صيامه فريضة وقيام ليله تطوعا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fasting in this month obligatory, and he has made standing in its night voluntary. And this is also a true statement, that the fast in Ramadan is obligatory, and standing in the night in the Salat al-Qiyam or Tahajjud or Taraweeh, by whatever name we might call it, it is voluntary. من تقرب فيه بخصلة من الخير كان كمن أدى فريضة فيما سواه. And whoever seeks to get near to Allah by doing some good deed, some يعني, deed of goodness, then it will be as though he has done an obligatory deed in any other time. يعني whoever does a voluntary deed in the month of Ramadan, it will be as though it is equal to performing an obligatory deed in any other time. ومن أدى فريضة أو فريضة فيه كان كمن أدى 70 فريضة فيما سواه. And whoever performed an obligatory deed in this month, it will be as though he has performed 70 obligatory deeds in any other month. وهو الشهر أوله رحمة ووسطه مغفرة وآخره عتق من النار. And it is a month, the beginning of it is rahmah, mercy, the middle of it is maghfira, forgiveness, and the end of it is itq min al-nar, or being freed from the fire. This hadith is not authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially the last words which we mentioned, and it's a lengthy hadith, this is not even the whole of it, but especially the last words which we mentioned in all of the khutbas, probably the people are saying that this month, the beginning of it is rahmah, and the middle of it is maghfirah, and the end of it is itq min al-nar, and it has not been يعني, reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In any case, these are some of the hadith, and there are many others that we want to discuss during the next few weeks related to fasting in Ramadan, and particularly related to mustalah hadith. But in the next few moments, we'd like to take a hadith which was brought up some time ago, maybe 1 month ago, and Jazakallahu Khair, Brother Ahmed, he reminded me on Friday about this hadith, which in one of the Friday lectures, someone asked about the practice of wiping over the face. When one makes dua or supplication, is it proper to wipe over your face? And at that time I said, I don't remember the exact words, but the meaning of what I said is that it is not correct. It is not authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except in a particular or specific occasion, and that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make dua and wipe over his face at the time of going to sleep. He used to recite the last chapters of Quran, and he used to blow into his hands, and he used to wipe over his whole body from the top until the bottom. One of the brothers said that as far as he knows, the hadith is actually correct, it is authentic, and he said that it was mentioned by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani in Bulugh Al-Maram. I said at that time, if the Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani said that, then we should go back and look at it. But as far as what I know, the hadith is not sahih. That's what I remember, but we will check it. When we went to look for it, we couldn't find the hadith in Bulugh Al-Maram. I looked for it, but I didn't find it. And that brother didn't come back again, so there was no way to ask him. But Alhamdulillah, our brother, he searched for the hadith and he found it. And he called me and told me that it is there in Bulugh Al-Maram. And he gave me the reference for it, where it was at, and I checked it, and I found that it was actually there. And Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani did say the hadith was hasan. But he also informed me that he did some research, and he found that other scholars didn't agree with that conclusion, and it caused me to go back and look, and I searched in a number of places, and I found some things related to this hadith, and that's what I want to discuss in the time that is remaining. Because it is a very common practice amongst the Muslims at the time of supplicating to wipe over the face, then I thought that it was worth mentioning this hadith, and especially because there's difference of opinion amongst the scholars concerning it, and this is a good chance for us to understand how did the scholars of hadith apply the rules of mustalah to determine if a hadith is really authentic or not. How did they apply it? And why did they differ? And how can we ourselves, after we go back and look at what the scholars said, how can we know which opinion is the correct opinion? If we look at what we studied in Mustalah Hadith in the past few months, then this discussion will be clear to us, and we will come to know the correct opinion concerning this practice of wiping over the face. It is reported by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani in his book Bulugh Al-Maram, which is a book of ahkam, hadith related to rulings and judgments, in Islamic matters. And that book has many explanations. The most famous of them is Subl al-Salam, Subl al-Salam, by Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Sana'ani. Here, the hadith that the brother was referring to in Subl al-Salam, or in Bulugh al-Maram, is quoted from Umar radiallahu anhu ta'ala, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا مد يديه في الدعاء لم يردهما حتى يمسح بهما وجهه. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he used to put forth his hands, stretch out his hands to make supplication, he never used to put them down until he wiped his face with them. Until he wiped his face with them. Meaning that whenever he supplicated, he used to, before he finished his supplication or at the end of his supplication, he would wipe his face. أخرجه الترمذي وله الشواهد منها حديث ابن عباس. Then الحافظ رحمه الله says this hadith has been reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi and it has shawahid, it has supporting narrations which are in agreement with it, but supported, and from amongst those narrations is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, in the Abi Dawood wa ghayrihi. And that hadith, yani the supporting hadith from amongst them, is the hadith of Abdullah Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, which is reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawood. And also there are others supporting narrations. And he says, without mentioning them, from amongst them is that which is reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. And he says, وَمَجْمُعُهَا يَقْضِي أَوْ يَقْتَدِي أَنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ. He says, بِأَنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ, ولكن it is as though this is a mistake maybe in the printing. It should be, أَنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ. يعني, but these narrations, the one from Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, reported in the Sunan of Tirmidhi, the narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawood, and others, the narration reported in Ibn Majah, and a third hadith which is also reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawood, it is on the authority of Sa'id ibn Yazid from his father radiallahu anhu. He said that these various narrations together, مجموعها, يعني, as a group, they support one another, and from that we determine that the hadith is hasan. That the hadith is hasan. It is a good and acceptable hadith that can be applied in Islamic matters or in Islamic rulings. And based on this, this was the basis of the statement of the brother, saying that that practice is correct, and that there is a hadith which verifies it in Bulugh al-Maram. Now, even though Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah considered this hadith to be hasan because of the collection of other narrations supporting it, as we said when we studied Mustalah hadith, it is very important to keep in mind an important principle, that a hadith which is hasan lighayrihi, which is what he is saying here, the hadith is hasan lighayrihi, is hasan because of other supporting narrations. But that hadith originally is da'if. But because there are other supporting narrations, the doubt that we had about its authenticity is removed, and we consider it to be a hasan hadith. But we said that there are conditions, and of the conditions for a hadith which is da'if to be raised up to hasan, is that the defect in it, or the weakness in that hadith, should only be a minor defect, not a major defect. It should be something like a narrator who has a weak memory, or one who is majhool, and we don't know about his credibility as a narrator, whether he has a good memory or not, and so on like this. But not a hadith where someone has been accused of lying, or someone has fabricated hadith, or someone is matruk, or major defects cannot be raised up, no matter how many other asanid you bring for it. Because a very weak hadith, we cannot consider it to be authentic or hasan, no matter what anyone may bring to support it. Only when it has a minor defect. This is the basic rule of Mustalah hadith. So here in this hadith, if we examine the defect in the hadith to know what is the defect, it will become more clear to us whether or not it is possible through these various narrations being collected together that it will be raised up. Ahmed, do you have something to give us concerning this matter? You have done some research concerning it. What conclusion did you come to, if you can just tell us? Did you find the hadith to be hasan or to be otherwise? Based on what the scholars said about it. Okay, so this is basically what we are saying. That if the hadith has supporting narrations, but they are all very weak, then a very weak, defective hadith cannot be supported even by other narrations, especially when those other narrations are equally weak, are equally defective. In any case, I found the hadith in a number of places, from amongst them Jami' al-Saghir by Al-Imam al-Suyuti, Jami' al-Saghir, and Shaykh al-Albani mentioned that hadith in his grading of the hadith of Al-Jami' al-Saghir, Da'if al-Jami' al-Saghir, page 640, hadith number 4412, and he said that hadith which is reported by al-Tirmidhi and al-Hakim from Ibn Umar, and also from Abdul Ibn Umar, that it is da'if jiddan, very weak. And also, I looked in the Sunan of al-Tirmidhi and I found this hadith. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah said this hadith, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ غَرِيبٌ. And in some of the copies they said that this hadith is حَسَن غَرِيبٌ or صَحِي غَرِيبٌ. And we said that a غَرِيب hadith means that the hadith came through one chain of narratives. Yani at some level of the chain of narratives, there was only one person who reported it, and that the غَرِيب hadith generally is considered to be a weak hadith, but not in every case. It depends after examining the isnad whether or not it would be determined as. This hadith is the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhum, and it is reported by At-Tirmidhi, and At-Tirmidhi also said concerning this hadith, لا نعرفه إلا من حديث حماد ابن عيسى وقد تفرد به وهو قليل الحديث وقد حدث عنه الناس. يعني الإمام At-Tirmidhi says that this hadith is gharib, and we don't know about it. We didn't come to know this hadith except from one person. Yani, it came through one person, that is Hammad ibn Isa. And he is the single person, tafarrada bihi, he is the single person who narrated it. Nobody else reported this hadith. And he is qalil hadith. That means he wasn't well known for narrating hadith. He reported only few hadith, even though some of the scholars reported from him. So here in this narration, in this chain from Tirmidhi, the one that is reported by Al-Hafiz in Bulugh al-Maram, there is a narrator in the chain named Hammad ibn Isa. And if he is the person who alone narrated, it's important to know what was his grade as a narrator. Was he a strong narrator, weak narrator, or whatever? And when we examine the reports concerning him, we'll see that not only was he weak, but he was extremely weak. Likewise, there is a report in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and that one is from Yazid, who said a hadith of similar meaning. He said kana, yani meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana idha da'a farafa yadayhi masaha wajhahu biyadayhi. Yani whenever he used to supplicate and raise up his hand, he would wipe his face with his hand. And this hadith includes in the isnad Abdullah ibn Lahiya, and Abdullah ibn Lahiya, he is considered by a unanimous opinion to be da'if, a weak narrator. His hadith shouldn't be accepted unless there are stronger narrations supporting him. And also in the chain of narration for this hadith is Hafs ibn Hashim, and he is majhool. And we said that a narrator that's majhool, it means that he is uncertified. Majhool is of two types primarily, majhool al-ayn and majhool al-hal. Majhool al-ayn means that only one person narrated from that reporter, only one person narrated from him, and they didn't give him any certification as being an acceptable or reliable reporter. And majhul al-hal means two or more. And maybe more people narrated from him, but also none of them certified him. Majhul, some people narrated majhul as unknown, an unknown narrator. But that's not the meaning of majhul. Majhul means we know who he is, but we don't know about his credibility as a reporter. Is he acceptable or not? So in this chain, the second chain in Abu Dawud, there are two narrators, Abdullah ibn Lahiya, who is da'if, weak, and as well there's Hafs ibn Hashim, who is majhool. We don't know if he is an acceptable narrator, and either of these two, one alone is sufficient to reject the hadith. It couldn't be used as a proof. When there are two, then the defect of the hadith is multiplied, and it becomes even much more weak. The third narration is the hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhumah, which is reported in the Sunan of Ibn Majah, in the Da'if of Ibn Majah, page 313, hadith number 844, or in the Sunnah of Ibn Majah, hadith number 3866, and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, said this hadith is Da'if. The wording of the hadith is similar. إِذَا دَعَوْتَ اللَّهِ فَدْعُوا بِبُطُونِ كَفَّيْهِ. That if you supplicate to Allah, and it has also been narrated in the plural, and here it's in the singular, it's also narrated in the plural, if you supplicate to Allah, then supplicate Him with the inner sides of your palms, and raising your hands in this way, وَلَا تَدْعُوا بِظُهُورِهِمَا, and don't supplicate Allah with the outside of your hands in this way, but it should be this way. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ, and this is the part of the hadith that is important, but when you finish from your supplication, فَمْسَحْ بِهِمَا وَجْهَكْ, then wipe your face with your two, with the palms of your hands. And this hadith is also mentioned by Imam Suyuti in Al-Jami Al-Saghir, and it is also a weak hadith in the Isnad. It contains a narrator named Salih ibn Hassan, who is matruk according to some of the scholars, and muttaham bil kadhib according to others. 10 minutes, jazakallahu khair. So, this is a brief summary, but not the complete discussion of the matter. There's only a few moments remaining, so just quickly to mention some of the statements of some of the scholars concerning the narratives here. Some of these narrations, the narration reported by Ibn Majah and the narration reported by Abu Dawood, also collected in Sharh al-Sunnah by Imam al-Baghawi, and the one, the Sheikh Shuayb al-Arnaout, who did the checking of the hadith, and they also said that the isnad for these hadith are da'if. And Imam al-Bukhari said that Salih ibn Hassan, who is the reporter in the narration of Ibn Majah, that he is munkar al-hadith, yani very, very weak and highly, yani very much rejected. And Imam Abu Dawood said that this hadith has been narrated through various chains, kulluha wahiya, yani all of them are extremely weak. All of them are extremely weak. So, from here we can see that these narrations, though they are more than one, they are supporting one another, but yet we cannot find even one of them being a strong report. Concerning Hammad ibn Isa, who is in the chain of Imam al-Tirmidhi, al-Tirmidhi in this nuskha, in this copy of his book, said the hadith is sahih gharib, but we don't know about this hadith coming through any narrator except Hammad ibn Isa, and he has narrated alone, and he has narrated few hadith, though some of the scholars have reported from him. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah said, in spite of this statement by Imam al-Tirmidhi, no doubt this Hammad, he is da'if, as mentioned by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar himself. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar himself said in his book Taqrib, the reporters, the biographies of the reporters from the Kutub al-Sitta, he said that Hammad is da'if. And likewise he said the same in his larger book Tahdeed. The great scholar Ibn Ma'in, rahimahullah, said that Hammad is Shaykh Salih. Yani, he is a Shaykh, meaning that he has narrated some hadith, and he is Salih, meaning in reference to his character. But he didn't talk about his reliability as a reporter of hadith. Abu Hatim said he is Da'if al-Hadith. Yani, his hadith should not be accepted. Abu Dawood said, Da'if. Rawa hadith manakir. That he is Da'if, and he has narrated hadith Manakir, Munkar, very, very weak and rejected hadith, which can never be raised up. Al-Hakam said, Al-Hakam in his book Mustadrak, said that he has, that this Hammad has narrated from Ibn Jurayj and Ja'far ibn Sadiq, a hadith mawdu'ah, that he has narrated hadith which are fabricated. Whether he's the one who fabricated or someone else, he has reported them. And Ad-Darqutni, the great scholar of Ilal al-Hadith, said that he is da'if. He has also said that he is da'if. And even Ibn Hibban said that لا يجوز الاحتجاج به, يعني that it's not permissible to use the hadith which he has reported as a proof in the deen. And one of the scholars said, Ibn Ma'qula, he said da'afu hadithahu, that the scholars in general have rejected his hadith as being da'if. Here Shaykh al-Albani said that such a hadith which has this kind of classification, then not only we can't say it's sahih, as in this nuskha he said that it's sahih gharib, but we can't even say that it is hasan. And such a weak hadith as this, it cannot be raised up by supporting evidences. Concerning the narration in Ibn Majah, We said that in the isnad of two reporters, Ibn Lahiya, Lahiya who is Da'if, and Hafs, Ibn Hashim, Ibn Utbah, Ibn Abi Waqas, and he is Majhool. Here the Shaykh says that these two defects are more than sufficient to reject the hadith, and that it cannot be raised up even when it is supported by other narration due to the seriousness of the defect. And finally, the narration of Ibn Majah, Sari Ibn Hassan, concerning him, the scholar says that he is Matruq, and that he is Muttahim bil Kadhib, and says that he has narrated fabricated hadith. So if we look at these reports, yani, as we have quickly reviewed them, you'll see that the defects and each of these chains of narration, each of them are severely yani, defective, and none of them should be allowed to support one another. And therefore, we return to our conclusion that this hadith of wiping over the face as a general practice of the Prophet ﷺ after supplicating, it doesn't have any authentic narration supporting it. Therefore, it shouldn't be practiced. A Muslim shouldn't practice this when we know that it is not authentically attributed or it is not authentically transmitted from the Prophet ﷺ, except in the case where there is an authentic narration which specified on a particular occasion, such as at the time of sleeping, that the Prophet ﷺ used to do so. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any comments or questions before the Adhan, if we hear the Adhan, we shouldn't delay to take some light iftar dates or whatever is available, something to drink, and go to pray. And after we pray Maghrib, as is our habit, inshallah, we'll come back and have something to eat after Maghrib. This is a long question that requires a lengthy discussion. And it should be a full topic. The effects of the weak and fabricated hadith on the deen of Islam and the unity or disunity of the Muslims. It's clear that the weak hadith and fabricated hadith, both of them are not, it's not lawful to use them as a proof in the deen, except the weak hadith which has only a minor defect, according to some of the scholars who accepted it, but with conditions. And those conditions we discussed in the past, there's not time to discuss it now, maybe on another occasion. In general, we shouldn't use those as a proof in the deen. And the effect on the deen is that they are the major cause of innovation in the deen of Islam. Weak hadith and fabricated hadith are the primary and foremost cause for innovation in Islam. Most of the innovations in Islam came from fabricated hadith or weak hadith which are not authentically transmitted from the Prophet ﷺ. And as for the unity of the Muslims, it is also one of the major causes of disunity of the Muslims, in that the people who try to follow the correct sunnah that has been correctly and authentically confirmed from the Prophet ﷺ will always be in conflict with those who want to practice in the deen whatever has been attributed to the Prophet ﷺ without consideration of whether or not it's authentic or otherwise. There will always be conflict because people will say there's a hadith. Without consideration of the fact that the hadith is fabricated. It is a fabrication. And then they will argue and dispute with people who will try to inform them or advise them to avoid these practices that have been falsely attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. This is a summary and the answer to your question, though the topic requires a lengthy discussion if there is a time or a chance sometime in the future. Any other comment or correction or question? It's not a total contradiction if we understand something related to the Hadith Hassan. The Hadith Hassan is the Hadith which the scholars said it is the most difficult Hadith to determine its real grade. Because in the earlier generations, in the first generation of the Muslims, the scholars used to say Hadith was Sahih or Da'if. It was authentic or rejected, one or the other. But later, it became very, very popular in the time of Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi to make a third classification in between the two. And those hadith sometimes are very close to being accepted and as well close to being rejected. So the scholars often differed concerning them. The hadith Hassan, there's a great difference about it and it has to be examined carefully. The fact that he said an area is da'if doesn't necessarily mean that every hadith which he reports has to be rejected. If the weakness of that narrator is not that severe, then perhaps, as Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar, opinion here, perhaps his hadith might be accepted if it has supporting narrations. But unfortunately in this case, the supporting narrations are equally weak or worse, and therefore they shouldn't be used as supporting narrations. And the weakness of the narrator, Hammad Ibn Isa, also is severe, to the extent that that severity of weakness, really, it shouldn't be considered for mutaba'ah, to look at the other reports which might support it to see if it can be raised up. But in general it should be rejected. When the reporter and the isnad, when one reporter and the isnad has a very severe weakness, in that case we shouldn't even look to try to find supporting evidences to raise it up. Because the doubtfulness of what he has reported is too severe for us to take a chance and attribute it to the Sharia. Yani it becomes a part of the law of Allah. And this is a very dangerous thing if we accept something that's really doubtful. When the narrator is very weak, then his hadith is very doubtful. When he's a little weak, his hadith is doubtful, but then that doubt might be removed by other people who narrated the same thing similar to him. Then we would say, well, here in this case, perhaps he was correct in his narration. But when he is very weak, it's too doubtful for us to use it. And the Prophet ﷺ said, دَعَ مَا يَرِبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِبُكَ. Leave that which makes you doubt for that about which there is no doubt. And he also said, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّن وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّن وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورًا مُشْتَبِهَاتْ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. This hadith, he said in the end of it, or in the middle of it, that whoever falls into the doubtful matters has fallen into that which is haram. And whoever avoids the doubtful matters protects themselves in reference to their honor and their deen. Therefore, if we are not sure about something, it's better to avoid it and to leave it. And not to attribute it to Allah or attribute it to the Messenger of Allah and make it a part of the Sharia, the divine law of Allah, and force people to practice something or to leave something based on that which is doubtful, which we are not certain about. Because if we affirm it as an acceptable hadith, hasan, it means that we will be forcing people to accept it as a practice as part of the Sharia. Did he say they made adhan? Subhanakallahumma hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.